All right, for scripture reading this morning. Oh, you know, before we do that, did Gracie get her crayons? It is, you have a birthday coming up, don't you?
Last
week, and we missed it. All right, open your Bibles, please, to Acts chapter 3. We begin that chapter this morning, and I want to read the first 11 verses for scripture reading. Acts chapter 3. Beginning with verse 1, it says this, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he who sat begging alms at the Beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, greatly amazed." Let's pray this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do thank you for this account and the miraculous healing of this man. And I pray, Lord God, as we look at this passage, we might keep in mind, Lord, that this really is a pattern of those who trust in your Son. There is a miraculous transformation that takes place in us as well. And Lord, we just thank you for that picture, this account that you give us this morning. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. All right. As we continue through this book of the Bible, last week, keep in mind, we saw what made the first church attractive. They were attractive, our passage says, to the people of Jerusalem. And they saw, actually we saw, excuse me, that it was not that these new believers conformed to what the world wanted, okay? But rather, they were bold enough to demonstrate clearly what the world needed. And this morning, through the first miracle performed by the apostles, we're going to see the transformation that takes place in a person through salvation, and in turn makes them a dynamic, attractive example. Some of you here may have heard of maybe you know very well of the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago, Illinois. It was a rescue shelter that was founded back in 1877, and it is a shelter, a mission really for the homeless and destitute. It is the oldest mission of its kind, but you might know it better because of something that they did back in 1950. They began a live radio broadcast called Unshackled. Some of you may have heard of that. Maybe you've heard the program. But it's this radio program today is still produced in the same way that programs like this were produced back in the golden age of radio. An organist provides live incidental music. There's a sound effects guy who does all of the sounds in real time. And as the show progresses, each actor is at their microphone speaking this out before a live studio audience. But each episode of this program called Unshackled dramatizes the testimony of one who has been transformed by the salvation that is offered through Jesus Christ. Many of these people came to Christ through the mission or ministry of Pacific Garden Missions. But Unshackled is now the longest-running radio drama in history. And as we think about the question, well, why is it so successful? Why is it have this kind of longevity? The answer, I think, is people are attracted to stories of transformation. People are attracted to rags-to-riches type stories, okay? They're attracted to that Cinderella story. In fact, many of the stories that they now feature are of people who heard the Unshackled radio program and came to Christ because they heard an episode of that program. They were transformed themselves. As of March of 2008, over 3,000 episodes have been produced, but here's really what I want us to think about. That is only 3,000 stories out of perhaps thousands and thousands more through Pacific Garden Mission alone, and millions and millions of transformations since the first century AD. And this morning, we're going to be looking at one of the first rescue mission transformations that took place. All right? Through this first miracle performed by the apostles, we're going to see the phases of transformation that take place in a person through salvation and then in turn make them that dynamic, attractive example. The subject we're going to look at this morning is a miraculous transformation from Acts chapter 3. And we're going to look at the first 11 verses. Now, we saw last week that one of the things that the church continued to do was to meet at the Jewish temple. And one of the things they continued to participate in there was the time of prayer that took place around 3 in the afternoon. And that is exactly what we find Peter and John doing in verse 1. So let's go ahead and read the first 3 verses. It says, "Now Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour," and that, of course, is the Hebrew time. Our time would be about 3 p.m. "And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask for alms from those who entered the temple, who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms." And here we find the first phase of this transformation, okay? The first phase is this, and this man's life in particular is this man began destitute. He began destitute. Noah Webster says that destitute means not having. It means not having as destitute of virtue or destitute of strength or destitute of food and clothing. He also says that it differs from deprived because it does not imply previous possession. Maybe you've been in this position before. Those of you who like to camp or hunt in particular, have been out in the hills, and all of a sudden, it rains. And it rains hard. And you get your vehicle stuck in the mud. Okay? Have you ever been stuck in the mud? I have. I have been there. Okay? stuck in the mud, and I think I would take just about any driving condition out in the hills over mud. Because mud is messy. Mud is messy. It is heavy. It is a struggle to get out of it. It's thick. It's wet. And the more you try to struggle to get out of it, the deeper you dig yourself in. And it doesn't matter. You can take sticks. You can take rocks, throw them under the wheels to try to gain traction. But there comes a point when you are done. Okay? You're done. You're stuck. That's the bottom line. Now that is being deprived. Okay, deprived of progress. However, being destitute is having always been in that condition. Having always been in that condition and having no way out of it. That's where this man was. He began destitute. These verses teach us a few things about him. First of all, they teach us that he was destitute of strength. They specifically say that. We're told that he was lame. Your Bible might read crippled. And as we read about his healing here in a few minutes, we're going to be told that it was his feet and ankle bones that were miraculously strengthened. So we know that's where the problem lied. He either had a deformity or something was missing perhaps to where he was destitute of strength. He could not move on his feet under his own power. And that's really confirmed by the fact that he had to be carried to the temple daily by someone else. So this man could not fend for himself. He couldn't work, and within himself he was helpless. He was destitute of strength. We are also told that he was destitute from the womb. He was destitute from the womb. Plainly, here we learn that he was born with this weakness. Through some prenatal circumstances beyond his own control, he was born into this destitute condition. This was all he had ever known his entire life. And in fact, as we progress, we're not going to get to it today. But in chapter 4, verse 22, we learn that he was over 40 years old. He was over 40 and had been this way his entire life. And as we look at this, we already begin to see some dramatic parallels between this man and us. You see, we too began in a destitute condition. Romans 5:12 says, through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. So as we, you and I, as we entered this world, we were born into a destitute condition. We entered this world with the burden of sin already upon us because of the sin of Adam. Along with that, prior to salvation, we too were without strength. Within our own nature, we were helpless to correct our problem. Romans 5:6 says, for when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. He died for you and I. And just like we were in need of help, thirdly, this man in our passage was in need of help. He was carried to the gate called Beautiful at the temple so that he could beg. This was his daily activity. As people would come and go from the temple, he would sit at the gate and ask for money. And this actually tells us one last fact about his destitute condition. And that is, he recognized his need. He recognized his need. Obviously, this man knew that he needed help, and that is why he was at the temple rather than at home. For the Jews, the temple was the house of God. And because he recognized his need, it was at this place that he would go. And it was in this place that he would meet Peter and John. And it would be in this place that through faith he will meet the Lord, the only one who could truly fill his need. It was a divine appointment for a man born into a destitute condition. But this leads us now to the second phase. This man began destitute, but then this man beheld deliverance. He beheld deliverance. Listen to verses 4 through 7. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, "Look at us." So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." The man began destitute, but now beheld his deliverance. Deliverance is the guy in the huge four-wheel drive truck with the belly 3 feet off the ground, great big gumbo mud tires, and a roaring eight-cylinder powerhouse motor and a tow strap. Okay, he's the deliverance if we're stuck in the mud, right? All right. This man's deliverance came first of all through the power of the Spirit. It came through the power of the Spirit. Peter said, "What I have, I give to you." Back in chapter 1, Jesus told Peter and the disciples, "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses." And here now is Peter, with that power, exercising that power, that he might bear witness of Jesus Christ. So this man's deliverance came through the power of the Spirit. Secondly, this man's deliverance came through faith in Christ. Now, we don't actually read those words in our passage right here. We don't read anything here about faith, but we will most certainly see it exercised and in a few moments, as Peter has yet another opportunity to preach, and Lord willing, we'll get to that next week. But there, he will say in verse 16, "It was through faith in Jesus' name that this man was made strong." And it makes me wonder, it makes me want to speculate a little bit, and I'm going to do that. What was the reaction of this lame man as Peter faithfully evoked the name of Jesus? What was it? Did he think to himself, "I know that name. I know that name. As I've been here daily at the temple, I remember Jesus coming here. I've been here. I remember him teaching. And I remember all of the lame and the paralyzed and the blind that he healed. And I couldn't go to him. I was stuck out here by the gate. But I remember his teaching and I remember all of the people that he healed. And I believe he is the Son of God." Why did Jesus not heal this man in one of his visits to the temple during his earthly ministry? Well, perhaps it was for the glory of God through the apostles right now. Right now. Right now, this man's deliverance came through personal faith in Jesus Christ. Thirdly, this man's deliverance came through miraculous healing. Listen to verse 7 again. It says, "And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Physically, in an instant, the deformed bones of his feet and ankles were reformed. They were transformed into a proper state. Instantly, the foot and leg muscles that had never been used in 40 years were now placed in perfect working order and given the strength to support his body. And instantly, this man who had never walked before in his life, never even learned to walk, had never even known what walking felt like, was up on his feet and strong. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. Physically, he was healed, but also spiritually. By the power of the Spirit through faith in Christ, another miracle took place. Isaiah puts it this way. He says that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes we were healed. Healed. Spiritually healed. Psalm 18:2 says, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust." And in relation to us, by the power of the Spirit, someone shared with us, someone testified to Jesus Christ. And through faith in him, we too were spiritually healed. We beheld deliverance. This man began destitute. He beheld deliverance. And then the last phase this morning is this man became dynamic. This man became dynamic. To be dynamic is to be characterized by effective action. It's to be characterized by effective action. Once every semester up in Bible school, we would have a missions conference in which many missionaries and mission agencies would come and share the work for 1 week, share the work that they are doing, doing for the Lord around the world. And of course, their hope was to draw some interest from students to be used of God in those areas after graduation. Well, there was one fellow who came one semester all the way from South Africa, and he was dynamic. He was dynamic. He had story after story of exciting events, stories of personal ministry experiences, stories of transformations of lives, stories of just the economic and criminal climate of that area. And he was just dynamic as he communicated the need of that area. He was excited about what the Lord had done in and through him and what was taking place in South Africa. And when he was done speaking, I think about half of the school surrounded him, wanting to know more about ministry in South Africa, okay? In what ways did the man in our passage here become dynamic? Well, listen to verse 8. It says, "So he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered the temple with them, walking, leaping, and praising God." Now, I don't know about you, but I imagine a little bit of heel clicking too. All right, this guy was excited. First of all, he exercised his new nature. He exercised his new nature. He was now able to do what used to be impossible. Where he used to be crippled and low, now he could stand strong. Where he used to be shackled by his weakness, now he could walk. Where he used to be held captive by his old nature, now he could freely leap. Is that a picture of the new creature in Christ or what? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." You see, prior to salvation, it was impossible for us to please God. prior to salvation, we were crippled and low, but now we can stand fast in the truth. Prior to salvation, we were shackled by our weakness, but now we can walk in the Spirit. And prior to salvation, we were bound by our old nature, but now we are free to please God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 and 16 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." We must exercise our new nature just as this man did. But that's not all that was new, okay? He exercised his new nature, yes, but also he sang a new song. He sang a new song. What was he singing? Our verse says he was praising God. He was praising God. He was not crediting himself with what had taken place. He was not crediting Peter and John with what had happened to him. He was praising God for it. He understood that the only reason he was now free to stand, walk, leap, and click his heels was because of what God had done for him. Psalm 40, verse 2 says, "He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon the rock, and established my steps." Psalm 149:1 says, "Praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, and his praise in the assembly of the saints." And now here he is with Peter and John, entering the assembly, singing a new song, a song of praise to God. There was no question from any who encountered him. He was dynamic. But thirdly, first of all, he exercised a new nature. Secondly, he sang a new song. And thirdly, he became attractive. He became attractive. Listen to verses 9 through 11. It says, "And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Then they knew that it was him who sat begging alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Now as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, and all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed." What caused the people to pay attention to him? Was it the miracle of physical healing? I kind of don't think so. Verse 9 says that all the people saw him walking and praising God. That's what caught their attention. Then verse 10 says, "Then they took note that it was the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple." His praise of God is what caught their attention. And then as they saw that a miracle, a transformation had taken place, it caused wonder and amazement. Again, just speculating here. As this man entered the temple, perhaps shouting, "God healed me! Look at me, I'm standing, I can walk now, look at what God has done for me." And all of a sudden everybody turns and looks at him. And one says, isn't that Levi Cohen? It doesn't say his name, that's the Jewish equivalent to John Smith, okay? "Isn't that Levi Cohen?" And he says, "No, it couldn't be, he's crippled. In fact, I saw him outside the gate when I came in. In fact, so-and-so over here is the one that carried him to the temple today." And say, "No, look," and the chatter begins. It is him, and he's walking. And all of a sudden, a crowd gathers. And they're looking at him, and they're wondering, "What happened to you? What changed? What happened? How come you're walking in strong now? Why are you so joyous? And within seconds, the entire temple rushes to Solomon's porch and they encircle him, completely amazed by his transformation, asking, "How can this be? Tell us, what happened to you?" Have we ever been asked that question? Is the change that took place in us so evident on the outside that people wonder if we're even the same person? Have we been asked, "What happened to you? What happened to you?" Well, just like this man exercised his new nature and sang a new song, when we place our faith in Christ, we receive a new nature. And our new nature enables us to praise God and become attractive. He began destitute, he beheld deliverance, and he became dynamic. This man really wonderfully illustrates the phases of transformation that take place in a person through salvation and enables us to be that attractive example. Today, one of the works of art that draws some of the biggest crowds is the sculpture of King David that was done by Michelangelo. However, the millions of people that come to see that statue every year are not coming to observe what kind of stone Michelangelo used. They don't care too much about the quarry that the stone came from or the shape that it had before the work began. They have come to see what that stone has been transformed into. They have come to see the fine details of the work and admire what has been created. But I wonder if that sculpture would be as renowned if it were just some unnamed person. I wonder if the interest in this statue has something to do with the fact that David is one of the great heroes of the Bible. I wonder if it has something to do with the fact that David was known as a man after God's own heart, a transformed man. I wonder if deep down that is what draws the crowd, because it is a transformation that will draw people to us. Now, as the lame man who was healed held on to Peter and John, all the people ran together to them in the porch which is called Solomon's, and they were greatly amazed. Let's close in prayer this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, we do just thank you for this account in history of a miracle performed by the apostles, and physical strengthening of this man. But Lord, in that, Lord, we just thank you for the wonderful picture that it paints for us concerning the transformation that can and does take place in us upon trusting Jesus Christ as our Savior. Lord, we thank you for that. And I pray, Lord God, that you're sculpting, and I know it isn't, but I pray, Lord God, that you are not done working on us. Your scripture tells us that you're not, and that you will continue molding us and sculpting us unto the day of redemption. Lord, make us willing. Make us willing. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.